This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina podcast on the beat. I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. We are sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Rate us, review us, follow, however you get your podcast, and subscribe on the YouTube channel to get stuff like this, notifications like this live on the beat podcast. With that, of course, means I've got Greg Barnes, Gregory Hall manning the controls, and Luke Buxton rolling in at the 9 o'clock hour with an energy drink. Oh, to be young. I freely admit I did have a cup of coffee earlier so I could stay awake, not so I could pound through the night. Well, that's not really a good way to put that, Luke. My bad. Let's get into this podcast. Greg,
Great start, Tommy.
Yeah, I know, really. It's live, too. Can't go back and edit it. Oh, well. Greg, you know, when the offseason comes, we talked about this a while back, like looking forward to a slowdown, to a time that sort of relaxed a little bit so vacations could happen, you could sort of ease into the summer months. And there have been a few years in Carolina sports that you've been covering this stuff that have been hectic over the summer, 2010. But I've been thinking about when was the last time at the end of a basketball season, and this is totally discounting spring football, but at the end of a basketball season that has been this nuts around Carolina. I can't think of one. Can you?
No, not really. And about the only thing you can really compare it to is 2009, 2017, at least from my coverage standpoint, just because for the sole purpose that the national championship game was the first week of April. It's just the Monday before the Masters, which makes that week so fun. But even then, when you're covering that kind of stuff, you're in the flow. You know what to expect. It's certainly not easy, but you're kind of prepared for it. And you've got the grind in place, and you can kind of roll with it. And then you roll directly into off-season decisions. And typically, those come out pretty quick. And then you wrap up spring football, and that's about it. I mean, North Carolina finished their basketball season a month ago, and it has been nonstop trying to figure out exactly what's going to take place. And that's even before Roy decided to retire. So when you're talking about one of the best basketball coaches in the history of the game stepping down, that's ripples across the entire country, not just in Chapel Hill or North Carolina. And so, yeah, when you add in all these other components and coaching search and a roster shakeup and transfer portal and all these different things on top of the expectations on the football side of things and kind of what they're trying to do. Yeah, it's been chaotic, and I think we still have a little bit more time to go. At least spring football game is 11 days away. And so I think at least the next 2 weeks are going to continue to be pretty jam packed.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Buck always likes to say there is no off season inside Carolina. That is certainly the case this year. It is just beyond crazy. I think about what life was without social media, and you think about how the Kessler deal would have been without social media, or about the transfer portal and all this stuff. It is a nonstop rollover 24-hour news cycle, and you guys have been at the wheel trying to drive down whatever roads go. Luke, I'll come into you first. I usually go to Gregory after Greg, but I saw you on the football field with Taylor Vipolis talking about football. How has it been covering Inside Carolina from your standpoint, or covering Carolina for Inside Carolina from your standpoint these last months? Well, these last, what, 3.5, 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, kind of talked about it on the Roy Williams retirement podcast, but, you know, to see someone like Roy Williams retire, who I've grown up, you know, idolizing, going to games, watching on TV my whole life, and then as a fan, and then kind of going as in this position as an intern with Inside Carolina and covering it in the press conference was kind of surreal. It was tough to wrap my head around. And then obviously you have the Hubert hire, and then, you know, kind of on the flip end, you have a football team that is preparing to be one of the best teams in the nation. So kind of everything that I've known as a, you know, UNC fan and student growing up, and now kind of looking at it on a journalist end, it's kind of a surreal experience seeing Roy go out, Hubert in, and now looking at also, holy crap, we are on the verge of what it looks like becoming almost a football school, which is something that I never thought I would say. It's been, to answer the initial question you asked, it's been the most exciting time. COVID has kind of been tough with us being on all these Zoom conferences and having to watch the games on TV and then coming up with some sort of analysis. Being able to be at Roy Williams' press conference, getting to look him in the eyes, see his emotions, seeing kind of the players in the back, observing that, and then being at football, getting to kind of see the guys up close, talk to the people after practice. It's kind of been a very reassuring feeling of why we love doing this job. And it's exciting. There's no place better to do it than Carolina. There's not many places where you get to cover a Hall of Fame coach's retirement and then get to welcome in the number two best three-point percentage player in the NBA as the new head coach, and then also interview a Hall of Famer after you watch the team practice, who has high expectations to be a top 10 team in the nation. So kind of all those different feelings. It's been a peculiar but also very exciting time to be in this job at this special place.
Luke, I'm sure Mac Brown has pairs of pants that are older than you and I.
Easily. I mean, Tommy, who's older than Gregory?
So you have a pair of pants that's older than 22 years old, Tommy?
I'm pretty sure I do.
That you could still fit in?
Yeah, man. Hadn't you paid attention to these podcasts and the live show before? Boy, don't make me come over there. And I do know where you live now. So, yeah, I'm going to put the headset down and come busting through the door.
Gregory's getting too comfortable being on Zoom.
When we get in person, really.
We can't be saying those things anymore, Gregory.
What's the Mike Tyson quote? Yeah, you know, Mike Tyson said folks get too comfortable saying whatever they want without getting punched in the face. Come on, Gregory. Look, let's be serious. You came on the Inside Carolina Live show, Gregory, and I thought, you know,
how would you grade his performance, Tommy?
I thought it was.
Well, I was throwing in play-by-play.
I know, and folks were like, keep him on there. We don't need to hear y'all talk. Just play-by-play from the spring game. I mean, how you feel about that? Look at the look on your face. You're like blown away. You did great.
It was great. I love it. I mean, I was answering. Joey would ask me a question. I'd be mid-sentence. I'd be like, look at that pass from Criswell, 50 yards deep down the field. J.J. Jones. Like, I was Woody Durham out there. Like, what are we doing? Ben was asking me what more I wanted to do. I got to be like, play by play, like put me on the air, right? Like,
he's coming for your job, Jones. Watch out.
Yeah, really. Dave Nathan, you better watch out. We got Gregory Hall coming rolling in. And you, Gregory, you've been covering the baseball team. And like I told you, we were texting last night, night before last. It's like a little league game.
It was literally last night. It was little league. You mentioned social media at the baseball game last night. I was next to Pat James, who started his thing covering the baseball team. And it was right when the Walker Kessler news broke. And I just kind of tilted my phone to the left and showed him the Auburn logo, whatnot. And then I had a buddy of mine come over who's an IC subscriber. And he was like, I saw a orange and blue thing out of the corner of my eye. Like, he knew I was over there. And he was like, what was that? And I was like, oh, it was Walker Kessler to Auburn. And like, that's how fast, like he had no idea. He didn't know he knew following premium stuff. He knew it was supposed to come soon, but it literally just me like tilting my phone to the left and seeing the AU logo. He was like, no way. And then came over and was like, is that for real kind of thing? So that there's a little mold between baseball and basketball and just social media and how that how quickly people could get that news. But no, the baseball team's been fun. And last night was crazy. And that was a big, big turnaround for them because they've been struggling, lost back-to-back series. Scott Forbes challenged them, especially the older guys. It was like, look, when we get down, you guys are just kind of folding at bats. You're not competing. You're not, if you get down 0-2, you're not working the count and things like that. You're not attacking the plate. You're not attacking pitches. You need to be doing that so the younger guys can see that it's okay to come back. It's okay to get down and come back and win. They got down on Saturday, or I guess it ended up being Sunday, and won 11-5. They got down 2-0 yesterday and won 21-8. So big weekend for the baseball team.
Yeah, there's nothing like being in Bosheim, right? And I love going to football games. I love going to basketball games. But the most fun I ever had in college was going to Bosheimer back in the day when it used to be a little more, you could drink what you wanted to over there without having to pay for it. Fun times. Greg, let's get into a little bit of news. I think one of the biggest, Hubert Davis went after Walker Kessler, and Joey and Sean and Rel have talked about that ad nauseum on the Coast to Coast podcast. I feel like he had to do it. Hindsight's 2020. It's kind of, I probably would have told him, yeah, we'd love to have him back. He's got a day to decide. That being said, you got to go after one of the best players out there. That's over with. Now he's got to complete a staff. And the news for me was King Rice not being a part of that staff. And I thought that was going to happen. I said on the radio show, and Rel says it all the time, a done deal is not a done deal until it's a done deal. What do we know about what happened with King and Monmouth and Carolina?
Well, what we know about the King Rice deal is that North Carolina made an offer. Monmouth countered, and King decided to stay at Monmouth. Now, here's where things get tricky, is because people say, North Carolina should have offered more money. North Carolina had a very good offer in place. And when you look at kind of what King Rice was making as a head coach compared to what UNC's assistants were making, pretty even playing field there. And so when you're talking about, and I don't know exactly what Monmouth countered with, but if it's in a legitimate range, right, at what point does your decision become not about money? And I would assume in this situation, there's a lot of emotion involved. I mean, we saw what King Rice did when he came to North Carolina a couple years ago with Monmouth and played, or his team played, and he spoke to us after that game. It's one of the most emotional post-game speeches you're ever going to see. So you knew right then how much North Carolina means to him. So what was the issue there? And for me, when you consider that King Rice and Hubert were teammates at Carolina, it really just probably became a matter of, does he want to take a step back from a head coaching job to a lead assistant? Until we actually talk to King Rice, we're not going to know the full answer. That's kind of how I viewed it. It wasn't a money thing as much as it was just, probably some reluctance on his part about, do I want to take a step back? You mentioned Walker Kessler as well. Not the start that Hubert Davis wanted as North Carolina's basketball coach. If you're going to go out in your introductory press conference and you're going to swing for the fences and you're going to make your first recruiting pitch publicly for the whole world to see, you better nail it. And he didn't. Walker Kessler is going to Auburn. And then you make the comments about really wanting Carolina guys on your staff. I have to imagine at that point in time, he probably thought that King Rice was going to join him. And let's be clear here. If King Rice joins his staff, I mean, it really doesn't matter who you get as the other two assistants. I mean, that's a home run. And I've been of the opinion that if you're going to have Hubert Davis as your head coach, at least initially, you've got to have somebody with experience beside him to help out. That's just a critical aspect. I mean, he's only been an assistant coach for a few years, He's never been a head coach other than the JV team. And so when you make some proclamations like that in your introductory press conference, and two of those big recruiting pitches don't land, that's not the start you want. And so we, as you say, it's, hindsight's 2020, but he's got some ground to make up. He needs to make some good moves here. Armando Bacot just became the biggest recruit on the planet for Hubert. And that's probably out of his hands. It's really going to come down to what NBA scouts tell Armando. That's not a Hubert thing. That's what we knew about Armando, you know, when he came to North Carolina. So, you know, a difficult start, but plenty of time to make corrections, but certainly not the way he wanted to begin his tenure as UNC's men's basketball coach.
Tommy, yep. What did I say Hubert needed to do in his first, when we were talking about that? What do you remember what I said that was needed to be his goal his first week or so?
I don't remember.
Attacking the portal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said Walker first because everyone was saying get Walker back. Well, he didn't get Walker. He got Justin McCoy, who I think is a testament of the type of player and type of system that Hubert wants. And then he reached out to that Creighton kid and offered him a scholarship, another guy who wants to play to be a stretch. I think if he can get those types of players consistently and soon, then I think it's okay. And because the Walker deal, a lot more went into it than just getting him back to UNC, because we mentioned social media. I mean, the amount of backlash he got for leaving and then coming back, as just a whole, I think that would have been too much for him regardless of system. But to Greg's point, Hubert needed to get that because it was a worldwide recruiting pitch, which we never see, much less in this day and age with the transfer portal. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there before you moved on.
No, I'm going to stay here for a second. You're right about the portal. And, you know, I see a lot of people fretting that they're not deeper into the portal at the moment. And I don't want to even go to – this is Sherrell's ballpark here. But there's a – how many? 1,100 kids in the portal? Players 12, in the portal right 1200. Now?
1,250.
I mean, surely there's a few guys that can be what Carolina would need, right? The goal is to find them and to get them to Chapel Hill. And I'm not necessarily sure that Kessler – accomplished that goal, but he had to go after him. He had to do what he had to do. Here's my thought, Greg, and Luke, I want you to comment, but I want to ask Greg this first. When Mac Brown was hired, and this is Mac Hall of Fame Brown was hired, we based, or a lot of people, I didn't, but a lot of people based whether or not the hire of Mac was good completely dependent on what staff he had. And now we're talking about Hubert Davis trying to fill out a staff and missing out. I mean, the pressure is immense on this guy. Is it not, Greg? Or is it?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. He had a lot of power kind of and support behind him from the Carolina family. And as we've talked about on this podcast, by going this route, fans, whether they want to or not, are going to have to give him some grace, and they're going to have to allow him to learn on the job, because he has never had a job like this before, nothing close. And so there's going to be ups and downs, and it's going to be more than just 1 year. This is not a guy just because of his experience or lack thereof as a coach who's going to be the best he's going to be even next year or maybe in the year after. You know, maybe in 5 years he's an elite guy. Maybe sooner than that. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he could be like Juwan Howard. Yep, he could. But there's a reason Juwan Howard's such a big story. It's because it's rare that that happens. Yeah, and so the thing with Mac Brown, obviously we know he's a Hall of Fame coach. We know that he knows how to do it. The issue there was things fell apart, and he kind of lost his way a little bit at the end of Texas. And then he was out of the business for 5 years. So the concern was, okay, he hadn't been around. He's been sitting in a TV analyst seat for 5 years. Things didn't end well at Texas. I mean, is he just going to get the gang back together again and try to run into the, you know, right off into the sunset? And that's why there was a lot of concern and question marks about it. But then after the Greg Robinson fiasco, you get Jay Bateman and Phil Longo. And now all of a sudden you're saying, all right, like those are progressive guys. These are big names, big up and coming names in the profession. Let's give him a shot. And then combined scheme with his ability to sell ice to Eskimos, as the saying's gone for 30, 40 years with the Mac. And we see what's going on now. Hubert, we just don't know kind of what he's working from. And so maybe he is the savant, right? Maybe he is. I mean, I think North Carolina fans hope he is, but we don't know. And so every little move that he makes, both recruiting wise and in terms of coaching staff decisions, is going to be critiqued. And I think that's fair. But to your point, it's a ton of pressure. And the only way he gets out from under that pressure is by performing.
Luke, you know, Hubert went all in on all this stuff. I mean, what has to happen for Hubert over these next couple months to sort of, couple weeks or a month to satisfy the masses? I mean, Inside Carolina subscribers are amazing, but they're also the most diehard. I mean, I see people all the time in my real world that ask me questions, and I'm like, do you subscribe to Inside Carolina? And they're like, what's Inside Carolina? You know, so there's millions of people out there that just see what's posted on your free media or newspapers and all that. But for Inside Carolina purposes and Carolina purposes, what does Hubert need to accomplish here over the next couple weeks?
Yeah, first off, you're totally right about the Inside Carolina subscribers. Got a couple of friends who are IC subscribers who are trying to feed me information. Like, I haven't even heard that. I'm at all the press conferences. So they are intense, and Hubert does have to act fast. I will say, kind of going off on his press conference, his introductory press conference, I think it was tough. And I think he put himself in a little bit of predicament making some of those statements. And a lot of the statements were on questions that he wasn't ready to answer. So he had his opening statement. I think he knew kind of the messaging he wanted to convey. But then when Mark Armstrong asked him about Kessler, someone asked him about the Carolina family assistant coaches, I don't know if he was prepared to answer those questions. And I think with the kind of pressure that came with that press conference, I don't know if he would have said the same things again, because locking yourself in a Carolina family and then missing out on King Rice and then, you know, fervently trying to get Walker Kessler and missing out on Kessler put yourself in a bad situation. So I think he would have taken back, or at least in the way he said those answers so passionately, I think he maybe would have changed his demeanor. To answer your initial question about what does he need to do, I think it's really just filling out this team, right? Like right now, Kessler's gone. Brooks is gone. Sharp's gone. Baycott, very likely to return, in my opinion, and from what I've heard. But as of now, he's technically not, you know, 100% coming back. So he needs to get guys in bench seats or on the floor. So that's, you know, going after transfers. That's either looking and getting on the recruiting trail. But he needs to fill the roster, no matter who it is. Right now, UNC doesn't have people on the team. So the first priority is just getting as many people, you know, in many conversations and making sure it's the right fit, but then getting people on the team. And then the assistant coaches, you know, I think Jeff Lebo's would be a great hire. And I think it's a shame that he locked himself in the Carolina family, because I think there are some other candidates who could do pretty well, which is why I think you may think a guy like Brad, you know, Frederick may actually end up filling one of those roles if they can't find anybody else. But I think most importantly, it's like, it doesn't really exactly matter if you get the perfect fit, because I don't think you ever know if you get the perfect fit or not. You need somebody on the team. And he's really got to, you know, McCoy was a success, but obviously the way Kessler went, you need to get some big men and you need to get them in the seat fast before Carolina fans and even the players on the current team right now are going to start to worry.
It's an interesting dynamic that Hubert's got going on, and whoever fills out his staff. Of course, if you're Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, you've read the latest updates that are posted, and you need to check them out if you're not. Last basketball-related question, Greg. Do you think, or will there be, and I've asked you this before, but now it is pretty much paramount, do you think there'll be any admissions issues, or is that kind of gone by the wayside at Carolina, or is that still a big thing? With, because Justin McCoy is the first traditional transfer since when 90, whenever McIntyre came, and then there's very few after that. There's probably a handful. I mean, how does that all work? Clearly, coming from Virginia, you would assume that he's a good student. But
that's what I was going to say. Like, he's coming from one of the top academic institutions in the country. And so, I think the fact that Roy never went that route and only brought in the four grad transfers, we knew that that wasn't his preference. And because it wasn't his preference, that means his assistant coaches, including Hubert Davis, never went that route and never even wasted their time trying to recruit regular transfers or and work out of a portal type deal. So this is new to Hubert, not just because he's a new coach, just because he has a coaching staff. They never dealt with it. So I'm sure that's part of the issue as well. Is I'm sure there's a number of guys that they would like to jump on, but I mean, you don't want to dive in on somebody without knowing kind of how they set up academically. And it's just always been an issue. It's football, basketball. We've talked about it time and time again over the years. And it is what it is. And I know there's been pleas made to kind of adjust things. And I don't know exactly where it stands now. I don't think it's quite as stringent as it once was. But that's still something that Hubert has to navigate. And I don't think that's something that's a quick phone call. Say, hey, kind of what's the benchmark here? This guy's, got a 2-2. Is that fine? There's a lot more in depth to it than that. And so he's having to learn that on the fly. And the fact that he does not have a staff in place, other than, a couple guys who are helping him, I think he's doing the bulk of the work right now. And so that makes it challenging. The fact that they were able to get a guy like McCoy it was somebody that Roy wanted anyway. So they knew he had good academics coming out of high school. So that was I don't want to say it was an easy get, but it's about as simple and seamless as you can find, right? A kid at a good academic institution, you already know, his past. And it's really saying, okay, what'd you do the last 2 years? And let's see if that's still a fit for us and check the boxes and move on. So it's going to be a lot more in depth and complicated with these other guys. And that's just another hurdle that Hubert's facing.
Yeah, and then you got, random dudes jump in the portal and everybody's like, we got to have that guy. We got to get that guy. Carolina, we do this. Got to offer. I said a long time ago I'd offer the Graves brothers from Eastern Washington or wherever they're from. I'd offer them first. Man, you come one, come all. Anyway.
Hubert says he wants some dudes. Those guys are some dudes. Like, you don't get more dude than that guy.
That is you get whooped by a headband and a beard. Look like Grizzly Adams out there torching folks. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. I'm sure Greg Barnes, Gregory Hall, and Luke Buxton will be covering all the latest stuff. And, of course, Sherelle McMillan will have all the basketball recruiting stuff. So stay on Inside Carolina. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about football. Matt Brown met with the media today. Carolina had an open practice that we mentioned earlier over the weekend, and in a couple weeks, the spring game comes. But first, Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. People on the YouTube live stream like to clown me for talking about Johnny T-Shirt. You know how you can clown me the best? Go get some Johnny T-Shirt and get some T-shirts and sweatshirts and whatever you need, beach gear, and all the jerseys. That baseball jersey, that's one thing I'm jealous of you, Gregory. You get to go hang out in the Bosch and see those swag uniforms, man. Carolina baseball are the best uniforms out there, and Johnny T-Shirt's got them for sale. Support them. They support us. And if you're an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, you get 10% off your order. It saves you some money. National guys need to pay some bills. Let's let them do it. We'll be right back on The Beat Live.
Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, boys, we're back on the Beat Live. If you're with us on YouTube, shout out to Gregory Hall for getting this back up and running. Luke Buxton, seamless. Yeah. I mean, you missed the best part. The folks on YouTube live stream missed all the scoop, all the breaking free scoop.
Well, don't tell them that. They'll be adding me on Twitter, and they'll be like, what the?
I said, I didn't know Greg Barnes was such a geography guy. Yeah, look at the background.
A little compass, a little map.
Compass.
Man, we can't. While we're waiting on Greg.
G-Biggie.
So while we're waiting on Greg, let's talk about our rooms here. We're not going to talk about illegal stuff. Gregory, explain the flag for our listeners while we like wait for Greg Barnes.
Spent about 9 weeks.
You're there, Vanna. Vanna White. Do you know who Vanna White is?
I do know who Vanna White is. Okay. I spent about 9 weeks in Greece over summer, and it was, I went to, I had the number memorized at one point. I think 27 different places in just Greece. I had plans of like bouncing around Europe, but there were just so many different places in Greece to go to. I just stayed in the country. And this was actually
and all that kind of stuff.
That's Coliseum. Rome. That's Rome. The Colosseum's in Italy.
I took geography 101. It was rocks for jocks.
No, but I got this flag. They had a big election, and I got this
geology. Damn, I'm sorry.
Oh my God, you're struggling right here.
Yeah, really.
And I got this flag at a rally for their current president who won the election. So someone handed me that flag, and that's the story behind that.
Very cool. I like how you've got, is that the LED lights around it?
Yeah, that's so my beautiful face isn't dark.
TikTok lights.
Nice. Luke Buxton, I mean, aside from the illegal stuff, and I see a Dean Smith picture back there. What's the one over there? Is that the old high school football team over your shoulder?
Dean Smith, and then 1954 Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers. With Mr. Robinson on that team, and then
respect.
To my right, a pile of books. So you guys think I read?
What kind of books you got?
My teachers think I read. It's a lot of business leadership books. So you got Peter Drucker, Good to Great, Jim Collins, and then a couple sports history books: Glory of Their Times, baseball, Wright Thompson, and then a chess strategy book
So Luke can take over the world.
Chess hobby. Really.
Greg, we started talking about our rooms because when you left, they noticed all your maps and things like that. Mm-hmm. What's the meaning to the map behind you? Because we used to have an
insight. Compass.
Just because, you know, for me domestically, I've traveled a ton. For work, let's see here.
Subtle flex right there.
I'm trying to find. I don't know where it's at. My wife made me something that's got every byline, every date line that I've written from different locations. And it's extensive. It's all over the country. And I guess the only place I've gone out of the country for work is the Bahamas a couple times. But she travels for work as well. And she goes internationally. So she's been to Japan and Europe and all kinds of places like that. So we've been to a lot of places, and so we've just kind of we got as a map, and we mark everywhere we've been. So it's just something fun we've done for a number of years to kind of track cool. Everywhere we've been.
Do you have pins in it or what?
We do. Just... Yep. Yep. That's so like my highlights are like Shreveport, right? Tallahassee. She's Detroit. Got like Berlin and Tokyo. And
yeah. Very cool. Very cool. That helmet that's behind me, that's Helmet State, folks. If you like that. Now that's the real deal. That's TJ Thorpe's black helmet, but that's Helmet State University. Follow him on Instagram. He does awesome work.
Nice.
And of course, that's the basketballs. And over there, I need to be a weather person. That's Dean Smith, record-breaking ball. Yeah, really. There's a cold front coming here. And I do have something that's pretty cool somewhere in here.
Greg, you missed it, but Tommy asked me if I saw the Colosseum while I was in Greece.
I know it's in Rome. Come on, man. Why you call me out? I've got something in here. Plus. Yeah, it's in the same part of the world. Something in here. Greg, did you ever get one of the posters of the Inside Carolina magazine covers?
I did not. No, we got a cool one at the office, though.
Yeah, so I think I've got that around here somewhere. Sorry, Ben, I don't have it.
Tom, we got a question about Jonas.
I do.
Go ahead.
Jonas Adu.
That sounds like a Sherelle question, but if you can answer it, go ahead.
I was going to look to Greg. Yeah.
Greg's like, I don't.
I told you, I'd
heard it didn't look good, but other than that, I don't know. Yeah.
I would. For the person asked the question in the chat, there's your answer.
I don't know if lose interest is a right term, but it's definitely something that we haven't gotten reports of Hubert technically offering I do yet, correct?
That's a real question that I do not know the answer to. I'd offer everybody.
All 1250?
I'd tell them no. No, we don't like you. We can't. Never mind. Anyway, let's talk about football. Greg, Mack Brown continues to lead the country in swag. But what's his mood for this team going into what, I guess, 10th? Is it, so they've got, what, 5 practices left. Spring game on the 24th counts as one of those. So they've got two this week, maybe a couple next week, and then the spring game. What's Mack Brown's mood here?
Yeah, they've got Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, I think Friday, and then the spring game. So that's we're rapidly gearing down. I think Mack's mindset, I think he's a little bit more subdued than maybe some other coaches on his staff. But I think the storyline of this spring ball has been trench warfare and that they really like what they've got on the offensive line. And it's very promising what they have on the defensive line. And we've talked so many times over the years, Tommy, you're not going to be able to play big boy football until you can dominate on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Virginia was not as good of a football team as North Carolina was last year. They won because they won the trenches. And we know what Notre Dame and Texas A&M did. And that was because of what they did at the line of scrimmage. And the fact that William Barnes apparently has become the breakout story on the offensive line. And we know he's got the talent. It's just been a matter of kind of clicking for him. That's a huge development because they really like Ed Montelus. And then when you add in a kind of a veteran guy like Kieron Johnson, I mean, they've got 8 guys right there that they really like. And that doesn't count somebody like Jonathan Adorno, who they really think is going to be a good player and who was kind of one of the guys they had to lean on last year. And then defensive line-wise, I mean, they got all kinds of guys that they like. And so I think everything we've heard is that the coordinators are just ecstatic with what's happening at the line of scrimmage. And as I said, Mack's a little bit more subdued about it. But I think he knows he's got a promising team. Anytime you have a guy like Sam Howell, that makes everything so much easier for you. But you can add in some playmakers and some tough dudes in the trenches, and you've got the makings of a very good football team.
This is – I don't know if I'm reading into this too much. I'm not reading into it at all, but I'm just saying, like, this is the lowest amount that we've heard the name Sam Howell when talking, like, ever since he got here. I think that's a testament to how confident they are in him and a testament to, look, we know what Sam's going to do. what's everyone else going to do?
And I thought it was very interesting today because CL Brown asked, and I thought it was a good question specifically about Sam. Like, you, he had such a phenomenal first 2 years.
Right.
How do you make sure that he's not complacent? And how do you continue to push him? And Mac was like, we're not worried about him. And then quickly shifted to the other guys.
Literally.
Yeah. And so we got like two quotes on Sam Howell in 40 minutes. So it's not just us not asking the right questions. It's Mac like, I'm not worried with Sam. Like, he's going to be Sam. So that, I mean, clearly that bodes well.
And we saw a lot more Criswell and Drake May to Tommy's excitement on Saturday than we did Sam. I mean, you see Sam at the beginning and then it's like, all right, oh yeah, there's Sam 50 yard dime right on the money. All right. Sounds good. He's still doing well. Get him out there. And then while he's not out there though, it's important to note, and Luke, we saw this, is he was sitting there. He was sitting back there when Jacoby was at, he was talking to Drake May, and he's literally like actively coaching while the other guys are in there. He's basically a Phil Longo out there, which they've joked around before that. I mean, heck, Sam could be the offensive coordinator if he wanted to. I think Mac made the joke when Phil interviewed for a job. He was like, Sam, we might need you out there. And Sam was like, I'll do it. So.
Well, I think, you know, guys want to hear it from the coaches, but when they hear it from a player, especially somebody that's done so well as Howell has, are we surprised that Drake May is pressing in the spring? Did I hear Mac Brown talk about that, Luke?
Say it again.
Are we surprised that Drake May is pressing a little bit in the spring? Didn't I hear Mac say that?
Yes.
What do you mean by pressing?
Okay. Greg, what do I mean by pressing?
Well, just the fact that he's trying to do a little too much. He's trying to, instead of accepting kind of what his role is, he's trying maybe to impress the coaches and his teammates.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, with Criswell seems like he's settled in. Criswell looked like he was pressing last fall. And now it's interesting to see that dynamic.
It makes sense. I mean, when you come, I mean, we forget that Drake May didn't have a high school season. So when you're coming off kind of, you know, this whole gap of not playing football, you're being touted as one of the best quarterbacks, pro style quarterbacks in the nation. You come in, your brother won a national championship here. Your dad was great quarterback here. I think it makes sense that you're going to come in and you're going to try to win the job, you know, or do the best you can or win that backup job. So I don't think it's anything that anyone should be worried about. I think it's a pretty natural thing for freshmen to do. But I think what Mac Brown has been saying is we don't want to name a backup QB in the spring. It's going to be something that goes on to fall camp. We want these guys to understand the offense, get their reps, and then we'll worry about that later. So I think it's all about Drake May kind of calming down, understand the offense that Sam Howell has, you know, that's kind of what made him, I think, great, is he really understood Carolina's offense and became a genius of that scheme and Longo scheme. So it's going to be how can Drake May settle down, take the basics, the fundamentals, learn the schemes, learn the plays, and then go out there and prove what your arm and your legs can do.
Is it realistic, and Gregory, you can start this, is it realistic to have 4 scholarship quarterbacks on the roster? Is that a realistic thing this day and age?
I don't know. I think 3 is probably the magic number. And then you kind of have that 4th is like an emergency. Because like when Matt got here and it was Cade Fortin, Jace Reuter, and Sam Howell that were all competing, right? Sam Howell won. We all know that. Jace was then kind of either chose to stay and was listed as the number 2, and then Cade's gone. So then you have 4, right? Because there was a 4th. I don't know if there was a 4th at the time, but say now that same thing kind of – say there's that same competition now is kind of what I'm getting at. Say Sam, Criswell, and Drake May are all fighting for a spot. Sam wins it. One of them leaves, transfers, and is like, all right, I'll go start somewhere else. And then your 4th kind of moves up to that 3rd spot. So I think 4 could be realistic given that aspect. But with this lineup, I'm not sure. Because with Sam most likely gone at the end of this year, or I guess next year, Then you've got Criswell and Drake May fighting for a spot. With they might both think that they earn it, but then if Criswell gets it, right, then the expectation is, all right, you got Criswell for a year. And then Drake's going to be like, well, now it's I want it to be my turn. I don't want to wait 2 years before I get the chance, because then it's his draft year. And then he only has 1 year before he goes pro versus Criswell having like, you know what I mean? Like, it can get jumbled up moving forward, right, as far as having the numbers they have now. But as far as hierarchy of, because obviously the focus is not what's Drake May going to give us in 2 years. The focus is how can we get to the college football playoff this year? And if Sam gets hurt, they want to have Criswell and May ready kind of deal. So I don't know. I guess for it to be realistic, but it also could not be realistic. It's just kind of a depends on situation type of answer.
Yeah, Greg, and please let folks understand, we're not talking about people leaving or anything like none
right,
of that.
Right, right. That was all hypothetical based on how
merely speculating work. On Max saying he wanted four quarterbacks. I mean, was it 2 years ago that Amendola turned out to be the backup?
Yeah.
It was because Reuter was hurt.
Yeah, Fortin was hurt.
Yeah,
that's
so
a scenario you want four.
Yeah, so Greg, how difficult is that? All the other positions, I feel like you can have countless guys, you know, and maybe if a fifth string wants to leave, I can see that. But quarterback, we're going to see if Mac Brown's really a quarterback whisperer here. I think with these three guys, and then you add in Jefferson Boaz, because there's no question that Sam Howell's playing all the time unless – they're at a point where they can pull him and not lose anything, you know, not lose a game or whatever. But it's going to be a fine line looking ahead to 2022, I think.
Yeah, and there's several things of note here that I find fascinating. One, Mac is up front saying he wants four scholarship guys. And a lot of that is because of the injury situation. With the transfer portal situation, the way it's set up, I found it intriguing today that they're doing some hard evaluations with a variety of positions next 2 weeks. And after spring practice wraps up, they're going to have conversations that he's never had before. And it's going to be, hey, you know, we think if you continue to develop, you could be a key player for us. Maybe you could, you know, and I'll just use quarterback since we're talking about quarterback. Maybe you could work your way up to being the backup quarterback. And then who knows what happens. Or, you know what? We just don't see you being the guy that's going to lead this program. We think you're a good teammate. We think you're a good locker room guy. We just don't think that you're in position with your skill set to help us win an ACC championship. And when you have that conversation, it quickly becomes, okay, are you committed to UNC and to us? And we can help you develop and we can help you get better and we'll see how things turn out. Or, having heard that, do you want to transfer? Because we have this transfer portal in place now that we've never had before. So they're going to be having these conversations with kids like in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Hey, transfer portal is available. If these you, if we're not checking these boxes for you, let's go ahead and get this figured out so we know how to proceed. And I mean, that's new territory. So that's part of the interesting thing. The other thing is what the fan base will absolutely love. Because if you go back to the first Mac Brown era, what did he do with his quarterbacks quite a bit, Tommy?
Did he rotate them?
He rotated them. And he even mentioned that in terms of maybe with Drake May and Jacoby Criswell, maybe two guys play. Maybe you platoon them. And the fan base will love that. The message boards would be great.
Mac knows how to play the game.
He says that on purpose, low-key. I feel like he's got a burner on IC, and he's like, watch out for rotating, if he imagine.
But even at Texas, you know, he was not afraid to take that approach. But he did that a lot at North Carolina first time around. He has no issue with doing that. And I don't know, a lot of people, that's a touchy subject for a variety of reasons. but that's one way you get around it. You know, if you want to keep four scholarship players – and you don't have Sam Howell as your quarterback, and you've got two guys that are, you know, step down, but they're about the same, but maybe they bring different skill sets. Sure. Why not use both of them? And all of a sudden that depth chart shrinks just because two guys are playing.
Folks on the YouTube chat, there's plenty of news from Sherelle on the Inside Carolina Premium basketball boards that continues to break as we do these podcasts. Let's go. Let's wrap this one up. Let's go offense and defense. One player on each side of the ball, each person here on the panel, breakout for the spring that will assume the Bryn Renner Award for the spring. Greg laughs because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Bryn Renner went off on spring game his freshman year, was it, Greg?
2010.
And it was he's going to be the starter without question. They got to sit TJ Yates.
He was so good in that game too. He really was in front of 20,000 people, 25,000, yep, whatever it was.
I still think TJ Yates might be the most underrated Carolina player ever. Luke Buxton, give me an offensive player, defensive player that has broken out or will break out, and you guys cannot double up. So if Luke takes somebody that y'all are thinking about, think of another one. Let's go.
Offense end. I love Josh Downs. I think he is a deep threat. I think he can run those medium routes. He can run quick slant, short route. I think he is such a diverse route runner. Great hands, fast, agile, quick. I think he is going to be Sam Howell's number one target in the spring game and also moving forward into the 2021 season. On the defense end, I'm not going to go with a super obvious one given the nature of the question, so I'll go with Conley. I think Conley, in the practice I watched, it looks like I just took maybe both of Gregory's, which I love. But Conley, he's had, I think what stands out to me the most is he's not only a hard hitter, he's not only quick, but his instincts are so good. He just seems to know where to be on the field at all times, and he's always in the right position. And he's a great communicator as well. He's really vocal in that practice. So Conley and Downs are my two guys to look out for.
All right, Gregory, since you threw your hands up in disgust. Let me
go last. I'm going to go last, see if I have enough players in my head.
Are you seriously going to ask to go after Greg Barnes?
Okay, that's fair, I guess.
You got another role.
I'll let Greg roll it out. offense, I think fans with their rose-colored glasses after Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, are going to be extremely excited for Ty Chandler. And not to say that he's not going to end up being the player that they think he's going to be, because I think he has that potential. The play, it wasn't even the play that Mac talked about today, which I had to go back and think about the play Mac was talking about as far as there was a pass protection breakdown and Ty Chandler stood up and took on Miles Murphy head to head. I had that written down in my notes, but it was just not something that I remembered. I guess that's because I'm not a coach and don't remember running backs necessarily blocking. But the play that stood out to me with Ty Chandler was, it was just a normal run to the outside to the left, and he ran into a brick wall. He ran into two guys. I don't necessarily remember who it was, but there were two defenders who he was looking right on, shoulders squared, and there was nowhere for him to go. And he just made a subtle move to the left, and he was to the outside, and he was 15 yards down the field before either defender could even turn around. It felt like he has that kind of quick burst that I think he'll show in the spring game, and that could get fans pretty excited. So that's Ty Chandler's my guy on offense. And then on defense, I'm going to go with Ra-Ra Dilworth, because he was the guy that impressed me the most in the scrimmage on Saturday. He didn't get the reps that he necessarily is going to get in the spring. Well, he got more reps than I think he might get in the spring game. Well, depends on how much Jeremiah Gimmel plays in the spring game, which he might not play a lot because he didn't play at all in the scrimmage. And Ra-Ra Dilworth kind of got those reps. And what impressed me about him was his decision-making with either I need to drop back in coverage or I need to get in the backfield and I need to make a play. His ability, once he recognized that it was a run, to burst through the line and right behind his big guys, whether it was Miles Murphy, Kamen Rucker, whatever defensive lineman was disrupting, he was right there. And if Miles Murphy got the first hit, but the running backs kept trucking, because a lot of them did a pretty good job keeping their feet moving, Ra-Ra was right there, swallowed him up and put him on the ground. So those are my two guys.
Interesting. Greg Barnes, you can close it.
So offensively, I don't know that there's many non-obvious answers besides who these gentlemen have already picked. I do think because Choffrey Brown and Bo Corrales are out currently, I think the opportunity is there for Antoine Green to finally step up. In terms of skill set, he may have the best of the bunch. It's just kind of been like a William Barnes situation where they've just been waiting for it to kind of click for him mentally in terms of what he needs to do. I think the opportunity is there for him. There has been some word that he's making the right steps forward. And I think, as we've talked about before, we know what Bo Corrales can do. They think the world of Josh Downs. If Antoine Green can kind of live up to his hype and potential, which he hasn't done yet, but if he can do that, I mean, this offense can be every bit as good, at least in the passing game, as it was last year. And that's saying something. Defensively, I mean, the name of the game for this defense, yes, up front matters, but I think even more so than that is being able to generate a pass rush. And it would be very easy for me to cheat and say Chris Collins and Kamon Rucker. I won't do that. So I'm going to go with Rucker just because I think they know what Tamon Fox can do. But to be able to put Rucker at a variety of positions, because he is playing both outside linebacker and the 4-eye technique. And he's actually going out to the 9 a little bit, which is kind of crazy. But they like what he can do. And so they're teaching him how to drop into coverage. But his job primarily is going to be getting after the quarterback because he has such a quick first burst. He's strong because he's got incredible leverage, even though he's not a very big guy. I think if they can counterweight Fox with Rucker, all of a sudden you've got a legitimate pass rushing duo, and that completely changes what Jay Bateman can do defensively. And I think that'll be a key development for this team in the fall.
Go ahead, Gregory. I see your hand.
Greg mentioned Tamon Fox, so this is just a fun little over-under that I wanted to ask. He got 6.5 sacks in 2019 and 7 sacks last year. So over-under, 8.5 sacks for this upcoming season.
Under. I think more players could come take a spot. King, you know, Bingley Jones, Miles Murphy, kind of all we mentioned, I think could kind of limit those numbers.
If yeah, you just said 7, I'd have said over, but 8.5, I'm going to say under.
Yeah, to Luke's point, I think North Carolina as a team will have more sacks, but Fox's numbers will probably be pared down a little bit.
Yeah, by the way, I got some
– I disagree,
got some flack in the chat for saying Josh Downs. Supposedly that wasn't Brent Renner enough. So I'm going Justin Olsen. Come on.
I was thinking
the candidate for Brent Renner.
Award. I was thinking Justin about Olsen. Justin Olsen.
Look, it looks like I could go guard that dude, and I saw him blow past a guy and make like a diving catch. I was like, who is out there? Like, that looks like me. Supposedly,
who looks like you, Justin Olsen?
Yeah, look.
Next time you're on the field, that guy's going to take you out.
It looked like, no, I'm serious. Like, I looked at that kid. I mean, obviously, watched him last season, but I looked at him. I was like, did he win an award? I was like, did he win an award being out there? And I looked him up, watched his highlight tape, and I saw him in the game. And I was like, this guy can ball. So, Josh Downs, I'll give to the chat. Probably that was a little expected. Even though 7 catches last year, come on. It's not guaranteed. But Justin Olsen, that's my Brent Renner pick. Put it in chalk. It's official. It's going to happen.
I noticed. It's yours now. You're the one who came up with the award.
I noticed that people said that I needed to explain Brent Renner more. Y'all know what I mean, right? Brent Renner, like I said earlier, went off in the 2010 spring game, became everybody's favorite player.
Someone you drafted in our fantasy draft, I believe.
Yeah, I had Durant as my starter.
Oh, no, that's what I'm thinking of.
All right, anything else we have not covered?
Yeah, give us your two players. Come on.
Javari Ritzy.
Nice, good pick.
I think he will – if he stays healthy, we will talk about him most Saturdays in the fall. On offense, I mean, it's tough to pick a senior, but I think Garrett Walston's going to have a bigger year.
That's a similar pick to Josh Downs, but not quite because he hasn't really been talked about. So I'm okay with that.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to be pretty good. I think he may steal some of the receptions from the running backs.
Okay.
You know, because he's, I think he's going to be a, we'll call him the Zach Pianalto for Sam Howell, maybe, even though I think Bo Corrales is probably actually that guy. But, you know, it's just tough on offense. Howell will spread it around.
Garrett laid the biggest hit of the scrimmage. I mean, he 100% put, I think it was Don Chapman. And one of the touchdowns, he put Don Chapman into the ground.
Well, I mean, that's not really a fair fight, is it?
I know, but it was just, I don't know why Chapman even tried to, it was either Chapman or Obi Egbuna. And they like met at the goal line, like shoulder to shoulder. And then Garrett got on top and whoever was the defender came up and had like a chunk of grass in his face mask. It was just a big hit.
Were they playing on turf? How do you get a chunk of grass in the turf?
I have no idea. Well, I don't know what it, maybe it was his mouth. Maybe it was his, I don't know. I'm going to start in the podcast right now. That is so, they do play on turf. What was it then? His mouth guard?
It could have been the rubber tires. I don't know. It wasn't there. Y'all could have.
I have told like 30 people that story and not one of them has said, don't they play on turf? Thank you, Tommy, for being on top of it.
Rubber pellets make sense. Rubber pellets make sense. I used to get, my whole boot was filled with rubber pellets and I played on turf.
That was when Luke was scoring touchdowns and running past people, aka like Josh Olsen.
Justin Olsen. I'm telling you, I looked at him, I was like, this dude is a bona fide scrub.
You're gonna be walking across campus and get taken out.
Like, he can play.
Greg Barnes, is it time to get out of here? I think it
someone
is.
Someone keeps bringing up who has the lowest golf handicap, and I just think that's unfair considering we have a former club pro.
Yes,
that's not fair.
Quite a distinction there.
Whatever, he's all the same to me.
Greg Barnes is a three. And I wouldn't give him three. I'd maybe make you go plus one, Greg, if we played.
I got down to a 17.8 last year. So
that's good.
I'm playing Chapel Ridge tomorrow with Pat James. I'll let you know how it goes.
That's a good little track. Let me know what kind of shape it's in.
We need to get together and play. We'll challenge this four group right here. Will challenge anybody out there.
Live stream that?
Me and Greg versus Gregory and Tommy. We'll put the enemies in the same
Okay,
team.
Why do you get Greg?
Yeah,
no. I'm the worst one here.
I think it should be the three of us versus Greg. Like, I mean.
I wouldn't take that, just be honest with you.
That's like Tommy's Baylor Gonzaga versus spread bet.
All right, boys, it's been fun. we'll do this again maybe next week as we lead into the spring game. And Inside Carolina Live or IC Live before the spring game will be from 11 to 1 leading into the spring game live on WCHL. Follow Inside Carolina for plenty of basketball scoop. There's a lot out there. But remember, a done deal is not a done deal until it's a done deal. Thanks, boys. It's been the Inside Carolina podcast. Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Greg Barnes, Luke Buxton, Gregory Hall. I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.